Mr. Clarkson, reel 8.
But did you, to some extent, choose... Did you have your own routine for doing things, or, you know, were you kept...
Yes, there were certain things that you had to, yes, do, to do at a certain time, and apart from that, you got on with the next job.
But on your decision, you decided what the other jobs were. I mean, you knew... you got.
Oh, yeah, the most important ones.
Yeah, you worked out what should be done, and yes, when you should maybe repair the old man's desk, or yeah, do the...
By the way, this was another job we had when... we had this, this old tyrant of a chief. He insisted that I should, every Saturday, go around the ship and see that all scuttle clips worked, were oil. See that all the rubbers in the scuttles, the deadlights, that see that everything worked. And then there was an awful row one day when the... we went aground off Lohia, I think it was, in the Red Sea. And this being a merchant ship, to counteract the weight of the guns we had on top, we had 500 tons of boulders in the hold. And when we went aground on this coral reef, all this lot had to come out. And so we had dhows come off from the beach, and they loaded up these stones. Well, I had to nail all, you know, the hatch covers are like in a merchant ship. I had to batten them right across, nail them together for platforms for hoisting the boulders out into the dhows, because they all had to go ashore and come off again when the ship was floated. And yeah, we had derricks. Of course, they had to be rigged. And these two derricks in the forewell deck, as you remember, were bolted alongside each side of the ship by the bulwarks there. And one of the POs came along and said, early in the morning, I suppose, could you lend us a spanner, Chippy? I said, what for? To open up the clips on the derrick. And this chief ship, I turned around and he said, you ought to be able to turn them with your fingers. He said, you haven't oiled them recently. And I was in the rattle then. However, that was another job. All these derricks, everything had to work so that it spun round as soon as you touched it without the aid of a spanner. He didn't do anything. My only joy in life was when we went to sea with him. And he used to suffer with seasickness. That was the only time I had a spell. I used to feel as right as rain then. But we went aground this time, let's say, we took all these boulders out, then we had to put them back again. And then we had a tug called the Enterprise. She was an armed tug. We had a cruiser, the Doris. Oh, they pulled us off eventually. But, I don't know.
Yes.
It was supposed to be a tropical routine where you work from 6 in the morning till 1 o'clock and then you rest in the afternoon and work in the evening. But it never seemed to work. It seemed to be working all the time. Yeah.
And you only get paid the same rate, of course, in the Navy.
Oh, yeah, no overtime. You're expected to work 25 hours out of the 24. Yeah. And that's another thing that when people talk about you getting a pension from the Navy, no, I said yes. So I said, I ploughed the ocean for 22 years and I was on duty all the time. You sleep on the job. For instance, I think of the Courageous, where I slept on there in the mess. There was a 50-ton pump just behind me, which was going all the time. The hangar was just overhead, where they're having early morning exercises, and all the hydraulic gear was banging and clattering. And if that stopped, I woke up.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I'll come on and talk about, if I can, another time, about accommodation and, you know, living and how you lived on board.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you two things just to finish with now, because it's gone, time's gone on. Were you involved in anything particular when the ship, say for example, one of these vessels you were in, coaling ship, did that involve you at all? What was your duty?
Coaling ship?
Yes.
Oh dear, yes.
How were you involved here then?
Well, being a PO,
yes,
you were on a dump or a tip. Mm-hmm. Thing, you know, the seaman went in the collier, The stokers were down below trimming. The others, the torpedomen, were on derricks. And all the POs were on the dumps where the two-ton hoist came over, and you had to catch them quick and get them away on the trolleys, like the sack trucks. Officers and Marines were on them. And if you didn't get that two-ton hoist away quickly, there was another one dropping on top of it. It was real dangerous, and you would always expect there was always at least half a dozen in the sick bay with broken legs or arms, injuries of some kind, owing to the... It was a competition, a rush all the time. And I was always... I've been on mostly on the dumps, but on the tips, and I think the tips are the worst, because you get in a corner somewhere where there's a hole there, a tip, and there's two of you, one each side, and as the Marines or the officers come up, you can't see one, can't tell one from the other, they're all in some football shirt or other. And they get into such a state that they can stop, they're running, and they can stop 6 foot from that hole and stop with a jerk, and that bag flies and turns a somersault, and if you don't catch it quick, it'll go down that hole, and then you get the engineers up, you choked it, and they've got to clear that before the next lot go. And it's, you can't see for dust, coal dust. But to start with, you turn out at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they pipe Pan's coal ship, and you go away till you've cleared everything prior to the starting the coal in. All the doors that are in the superstructure, places like that, have got to be sealed up. All the boats' cottages, you imagine we had 15 large boats on that ship, and each one had chocks. All those chocks had to be taken up from the deck, stowed away at the end, dragged along, the holes plugged up with oakum, all ready for the big fray. That was the day before, and then I say you turned out at 4 in the morning and you started coaling. You went down to breakfast. The only people excused were the telegraphists or anybody that was sick. And there was your breakfast on the table. Red lead and... it was tomatoes and... herrings and tomato sauce, that was it. Red lead. You sat down there looking at the row in front of you. All you could see are the whites of their eyes. And then you took a knife and scraped the coal dust, because we had 5 chutes in our mess. And from the top to the bottom was just like a canvas chute that you read on. And so you'd scrape the coal dust off, and then you'd eat that. You no sooner got it down than hands coal ship again, and back you went. Now that went on, we used to reckon to take in 2,500 tons at a time, every bit manhandled. And all this time that was going on, the band was playing.
Sid?
Yes, very stirring marches. There was big cans, kettles, we call them, of lime juice along the decks, various places, so you could have a drink. And when it was... Oh, at night times, we'd been up at Scapa Flow coaling. And at night time, the coaling hadn't finished, and they decided to swing it. It was getting dark, and start again the next morning. Well, you couldn't get your hammock up. You couldn't bath. You couldn't have a wash even. And so you'd have your bit of supper or whatever it was, and you curl up inside a couple of coal bags and cover yourself up with a couple more, and you'd snooze off till it was time to coal ship again. There was no use washing or anything like that. And then all the time you were coaling, there was the commander with a bugler and a blackboard going round and drawing on there. Great.
Just talking about the difficulty and the great job that was involved in coaling a big ship in the old days.
Oh, yes.
Just can I ask you, first of all, I would think by that time that quite a lot of Navy ships were oil burning, increasingly, yes. But obviously a lot of them were still
yes.
burning coal.
And I can tell you, in 1914, or the beginning of 1915, when I joined the Navy, the Queen Elizabeth class was the Queen Elizabeth, Barham, Malaya, Walspite, they were all oil burners. The Iron Duke class, the Iron Duke, Benbow, Emperor of India, Marlborough, they were all coal ships. And the majority of the old, because a lot of old ships there were then, and the majority of them were coal burners, destroyers, cruisers. They were, as I say, coal burners. And they had to be coaled very frequently because the coal provided a shield from torpedoes in the engine rooms and boiler rooms, and that the bunkers were alongside of them. And so they didn't like to run down too far with their fuel supplies.
Can I just ask you about that, actually? But we mentioned a figure of about 1,200 tons.
2,500 for a battleship at the time, yes.
And the, you know, the destroyer would be about 1,000. 500, something like that.
About 1,000, I should think.
Yeah. Now, often when you say not too often, how often would you, how regularly would it come up?
Well, according to the steaming you've done.
Yes, right.
For instance, in peacetime, it would be every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Where you've done normal exercises at going from, say, from Portsmouth, join the fleet, go to Invergordon, go out firing, torpedo exercises and that sort of thing, say about every 3 weeks. But in wartime, going out on exercises, fast steaming, of course you burn a lot more. Now, my first experience of coal ship, I didn't actually coal then, but it was when I was in the barracks, I suppose I just joined then, and one night, the I suppose I'd got to have been in the Navy about a week then in uniform, and we were all called out of our beds one night about 11 o'clock, paraded on the out on the parade. There must have been 1,000 of us there. And that was when that silly question arose. Well, I expect you've heard it very often. All men who can ride a bicycle fall in on the left. Well, they all thought, oh, messenger's job here, this is going to be a quiet number. Nearly everybody fell in on the left. And then he said, right, dismiss the remainder. All you cyclists, you will be known as the Queen Mary coaling party. The Queen Mary was just coming in, and she had to be coaled quickly. So they worked all night and all the next day. Nobody ever fell for that hour. But the coal ship was a horrible thing. To start off with, a shadow would come over the ship as soon as you heard you were coaling, and you knew very well, we'll say every 10 days it would be then. And you start clearing the ship, all the off, the sliding doors, the cabin doors, everywhere, because they're nearly all sliding doors in here on the ship. They'd be all sealed up by the cabin doors, by the marine flunkies.